Talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 84. Got William and Henry here with me.
Hello.
Hey.
How's it going, boys?
Good.
Pretty good. Something I've been... Oh, wait.
Go ahead.
Oh. Something I've been thinking about lately is the crazy amount of Star Wars movie that's coming out. Like, at first I thought it was just, like, episode 9 and 3 spinoffs, which then there'd be, like, a spinoff trilogy, kind of. But there's, like, there's a crazy amount of Star Wars movies coming out.
Yeah, the Han Solo movie comes out in May, I think.
And then I'm pretty sure after that's the Obi-Wan movie, then the Boba Fett movie.
Wait,
an
Obi-Wan movie?
Mm-hmm. They're going to make a new trilogy. I'm pretty sure it's going to be called Knights of the Republic. There's going to be a... And there's an article on Wired about this, so I don't think it's fake. There's going to be a Jabba the Hutt movie.
That seems a little crazy. Because if you think about it, Jabba, like, he's gotten him... Well, I don't know if important. He has a role in the original trilogy, but he's not very charismatic. He's just a big slug, basically.
It could be him, like, growing up.
I mean, he's kind of a funny villain, I guess, a little bit. And there's that scene in Return of the Jedi where, you know, they all escape from Jabba's. That's a pretty good scene. But I wouldn't want to watch a whole movie about Jabba.
I mean, he has really cool puppetry.
I guess. You know, and then, like, in the... Do you know about the CGI Jabba?
No.
So, the original trilogy, he was a puppet, right?
Oh, yeah. Wait,
but then George Lucas added all these scenes where he was computer animated. Like, there's a scene where, like, Han Solo is talking to him and he, like, jumps over his tail. That's, like, CGI Jabba.
So is he only computer animated like half the movie?
He's computer animated in scenes that were added to the original movies. And those scenes are all kind of terrible. Mm. Like George Lucas just kept tinkering with those movies. And every time he tinkered with them, he kind of made them worse.
Wait, but when did he add in those scenes?
Like he added them in and then they got re-released into the theaters and they had like a new video version of them. So after they were originally released.
Oh, but like it wasn't
scenes and then it'd re-release it.
But like, did they like refilm?
Yeah. Some of it they refilmed. Some of it they had already filmed part of it, but they didn't have the technology to do it the way he wanted. So he like kept the archive footage and just added computer animation to it.
I just wonder if like all the actors would be old or something.
But Jabba is kind of gross. I mean, that's kind of funny that he's gross in the Star Wars movies, but I wouldn't want to watch a whole movie about him, I don't think.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like the Minions movie almost.
A little
like,
bit, except worse. Like if the Minions were gross.
It is.
And also, one thing about George Lucas editing his works is, does he need to add more CGI to Star Wars? Wasn't there enough in the prequels?
Let's talk a little bit about Boba Fett. So Boba Fett...
One last thing about Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
He does have really cool puppetry.
He kind of, yeah. I mean,
you already said that.
Kinda.
Oh, yeah, I already said that, yeah.
But the thing about Boba Fett is, like, Boba Fett, the main reason he's popular now is because he was one of the best action figures. Like, he doesn't really have much of a character in the original movies. He's a bounty hunter that's going after Han Solo, but he's just kind of a cool-looking bounty hunter. There's no real backstory. I think they did, like, books that sort of gave him a backstory. But then, like, in the original trilogy, you know how Boba Fett dies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He tries to, like, jetpack, and then he falls into the Sarnak pit and gets chomped by the Sarnak. But that's just kind of a lame way to die. Like, he just gets knocked down and gets chomped. And then, like, everyone was kind of like, well, we think he's a really cool guy. So they made, like, this whole backstory for him in the trilogy where, like, he was Jango Fett's son and all of the clones are sort of related to him. Even though he doesn't really have much of a character. People thought, we like Boba Fett, so make Boba Fett more. I don't know. Maybe a Boba Fett movie could be good, but they don't have a whole lot to go on based on the movies.
I can't tell if I like him as a character or if I just think that his design is cool.
Yeah.
And he looks pretty cool. I got to give you that.
Yeah, I think his helmet. I think that too, but I think that they could do more with the Boba Fett movie than the Jabba the Hutt movie.
Yeah, definitely. I think I would put the Boba Fett movie above the Jabba movie. Hopefully the Han Solo movie would be pretty good.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Originally it was supposed to be the guys who did the Lego movie were going to direct it, and then they got fired, and then they hired Ron Howard to finish it.
I'm really excited for the Jar Jar Binks trilogy. Looks amazing.
Yeah, that would just be the best idea ever.
Yes.
No, it wouldn't.
Can't get enough Jar Jar.
And then they're going to make like a Jar Jar Binks movie in between Binks episode 3 and episode 4, where they try to steal the CGI.
The CGI map.
But at the end, all the alien side characters die, and then the two remaining alien side characters die in an explosion.
What's the worst part of Jar Jar? Is it his bizarre looking ears? Is it the fact that he's amphibious? Or is it the horrible accent?
He's just altogether annoying.
Yeah.
Misa, the worst person in the world, sir.
I don't like the way he talks. It's really annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
There's something really annoying about it.
He's like this like weird like lizard thing. It seems like with all the Star Wars.
He's an amphibian because his people live kind of underwater.
It seems like with all the Star Wars characters, and this isn't necessarily bad, but it's like you can kind of compare them to real life animals, but not quite. Like porgs are like birds, but they don't have beaks and their eyes are weird.
Yeah, like apparently, porgs, did you know that the porgs were made? Sorry for interrupting, Henry. I'll come back to you. Did you know that the porgs, the inspiration for the porgs was when they were shooting those scenes on the island, there were a lot of puffins around. You know what a puffin is?
Yeah.
So there were a lot of puffins around, and the porgs were kind of modeled on the puffins.
What are puffins?
It's a seabird. Let me Google it for you and show you a picture of a puffin.
Like, I know...
It's a kind of a cute-looking seabird that lives up in the Arctic.
I thought they were in there so that they could have their own solo movie, but...
Do you mean a solo movie or a solo movie?
That's a puffin.
Oh, yeah, those...
Yeah, they're kind of cute. They almost, like, if they are sort of like the Arctic's version of a penguin.
They kind of remind me
of... You don't have penguins in the Arctic, you know that, right?
Yeah, they kind of remind me of that one, like, animal that went extinct that's, like, it's kind of shaped like a duck, but it's also like a penguin. I forgot what that's called.
A dodo?
No, not a dodo.
I don't know.
I think it's kind of obscure, but...
I don't know. Puffins are pretty cute, but they have penguins in the Antarctic, they have puffins in the Arctic. But apparently puffins were the inspiration for the porgs.
You know, I think that porgs are actually just getting a bird and getting a puppy and just combining them. That's what they are there.
I think a porg is if you combine a puffin with Maisie the Boston Terrier.
Yeah.
A porg is like if you combine cuteness with a motivation for merchandise or getting money off of merchandise.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, Henry's got one. He got one for Christmas.
Yeah, and they like made money off of it.
That was a really soft blanket, though.
A soft blanket and a soft porg. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else is going on?
We started up a new unit in multimedia. We're working with Adobe Premiere Elements, which is where we're editing videos. But we got a bunch of clips in New Zealand, and we're supposed to put them together and like with transitions and stuff. And it made me really want to live in New Zealand because it shows them like on or in those like Zorbs, and that's what they're called, right? Like the big balls, Zorbs.
Orbs?
No, they're like the big like campster balls that you roll around in.
Oh, I don't know what they're called.
I think they're called
Zorbs.
Maybe
they're called Zorbs.
And, like there's another one where like people were like on the sidewalk that was slightly going downhill and riding these like kind of like scooter like things down it. There was one where like it was a shot of like a whale's tail. There's one where someone went bungee jumping like 50 feet below and they were like screaming.
Have you guys seen Lord of the Rings movies yet?
No.
No, I have not.
Those were all filmed in New Zealand.
And apparently in New Zealand you can go and see, my Toshai's teacher actually has a picture next to it, the hole where, what's his name? What's the one?
Frodo.
Is that the one, first one?
Frodo's like the main hobbit in Lord of the Rings.
Or maybe Bilbo?
Bilbo, yeah.
Bilbo is in the movie The Hobbit. And Bilbo is like, I think Bilbo's like Frodo's nephew or something.
Yeah. I have read The Hobbit, but I feel like the word choice is a bit too like old-timey for me and rambling.
Yeah.
But I mean,
you guys could probably watch Lord of the Rings movies. We've got them on DVD if you want to watch them sometime.
Okay. I think the story is all right, though.
They're a little creepy, but they're good.
Mom doesn't want to admit it, but she says that the movies are better than the books, even though you're never supposed to say that.
Maybe. I guess it depends on what you're looking for. The books are really kind of dense, and if you really like kind of world creation and like Tolkien like made up all these languages and everything, like elfin languages. So if you really like that sort of thing, you might really get into it. But the movies are just more entertaining just because they kind of move it along.
I started to read it, but then I was like, oh my gosh, this is rambling too much. Like, quit describing puffs of smoke for like three paragraphs.
Yeah. I kind of prefer like modern times with a twist or like some sort of like magical element of it, like Percy Jackson or Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good.
But Tolkien kind of invented that whole Middle Earth kind of wizards and elves and dwarfs and stuff. He kind of invented all that. So you got to give him credit for that.
Yeah. And by the way, it's a bit of a tangent, but people always say like the books are always better than the movies. But I mean, and I get what they're saying, but there has to be like sometimes when the movies are better than the books. Like there has to be some rare occasions.
Like The Lorax. No.
No.
There are some times when the movies are better than the books. Mm-hmm. And there are times when the book's much, much better. So,
and there's times when no one actually knows about the books, like Shrek.
Some people know about the book.
I mean, but
the book might be better than the movie in that case.
I wonder if Ready Player One's going to be better than the book.
I don't know. The book was pretty good. I liked the book, but it wasn't like great literature. I bet the movie will be pretty good.
Yeah. So what's that even about?
Ready Player One is about a kid who's living in like maybe I don't know what year it's supposed to take place. Maybe like the 2100 or to the like the 23rd century or something like that. Anyway, it's in the future, let's say 100, 200 years from now. And maybe it's not that far. All right, now I got to look it up. Ready Player One. Okay, I feel like I'm just saying too many things that are completely wrong. So it just takes place in 2044, which is kind of funny because it's kind of like how Back to the Future 2 takes place in 2017.
It does?
Yeah, like, and it's supposed to be all futuristic. And then, I'm sure by the time like 2044 comes along, people will be like, oh, so that's what they thought that everybody would be doing.
Yeah, that always year. Kind of happens. Although there is this one book.
So it takes place in 2044 and the world is kind of dystopian and most people are poor, but most people like live in virtual reality. So a lot of it takes place in virtual reality. And there's like this really rich guy who's like a computer programmer and he dies and he creates this will that says, if you can solve this computer game, you inherit my fortune.
That sounds cool.
And so this poor kid who's like a really good computer game player, like a really good gamer, and his friends like try to solve the riddle, but they're like competing against like all these evil corporations that are also trying to solve the game and inherit all of his fortune. That's basically it. But the guy who did this, the rich man who dies, like he grew up in the 1980s. And so all of the clues have to do with like 80s pop culture and 80s video games. And so you have to know a whole bunch about 80s pop culture, which is why a lot of people who read the book are people like my age who also grew up in the 80s. Because a lot of the references in the book are like old kind of throwback things.
Only 2024 though. That's kind of soon, but
yeah, I guess it would have had to have been pretty soon though, because for the guy to grow up in the 80s and have that be relevant. Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess, I thought it was 2044.
2044. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I guess that makes slightly more sense. That kind of reminds me of, there's an Adventure Time episode, that won an Emmy where it was part of a miniseries where they're traveling islands to meet like this like island of humans. But on one of them was like where there's a bunch of people who just like sat in these domes and just like lied down, but they put on these like virtual reality headsets and just lived in this alternate reality.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
And then like Finn and Jake tried to take them off them, but they had to just put them back on because they were all like complaining about that.
Yeah, and they kind of lost touch with reality.
Yeah.
But yeah, that won an Emmy.
Yeah.
So, you know what else is going on?
What?
It is really, really cold.
It's so cold that with wind chill, it's like 1 or 2 degrees. Except that's not even a cold joke.
Do you know how cold it is?
Oh, no.
Not 1 or 2 degrees.
Actually, it is so cold that I wore a coat under my overcoat and another coat over my overcoat, and I was still cold.
Wow, honey, I realized my phone said it was like 19 degrees with wind chill.
It is so cold. Do you know how cold it is?
What?
It's so cold that I saw a couple of polar bears buying space heaters in Walmart.
It's so cold that a tardigrade froze to death. That's a good one. Except it's not actually that cold. It's like impossibly cold.
It's so cold that when I went outside, my toes and fingers held a protest and said that never worked for me again unless I went back inside.
That was actually okay, a pretty good one. I had some in my head like a while ago, but
it is,
I can't remember them now.
So cold that if you open a window, the only sound you can hear are everybody's teeth chattering. Oh, the studio audience really liked that one. It is so cold that I saw a man singing Moon River, but he had to stop because halfway through the river froze.
Nice. It's so cold that the hottest thing here...
No, the drummer is really slow. We got to tell him to pick it up. Sorry.
It's so cold.
It's so cold that the hottest thing here is a Twitter account with one follower.
It's so cold... I'm not sure if this works. What's a type of category of music that is like named after a color?
I don't even the blues.
No, but one other than that.
The pinks.
Other than the blues.
The yellows.
Okay, I think you get what I'm saying by now,
though.
The
oranges.
I think you get what the joke is by now, though.
The grays.
Like they're now playing the blues. I don't know.
I think that one needs some work.
I think all of yours need some work, to be fair. Yep.
I promised I would do it. I didn't promise that the jokes would be any good, but I promised I would do it when it got really cold. And it is really, really cold. This isn't even a joke. It's so cold that my car wouldn't start the other day.
It's so cold.
I drove Phoebe to seminary, to church, and I waited for her. And then when she got back in the car, my car wouldn't start. So Mom had to drive her car to jump my car. And just connecting the jumper cables, I thought my fingers were going to fall off. It was so cold.
Yeah. Okay. It's so cold that ice cream doesn't want to go outside.
It's so cold that if you want a popsicle, you can literally just point at anything and just lick it. That, no. Never mind. Oh, wow. Actually, your audience is extremely inconsistent.
It's true.
Crickets, crickets, crickets.
Ooh, turned on you.
No, they're not very inconsistent.
So, we got a few different things we're going to do this podcast. We might do a little bit of a short podcast because it's a school night. And I got to get this podcast edited because I'm not going to be around tomorrow night. And, yes, Henry?
As I was going to say, the audience isn't that inconsistent.
I don't know. They can't seem to decide what they want to do.
No, they're very decisive.
It's just some sort of like... It's not even an audience. It's just some sort of like board of sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we had a real audience, it would just be like 10 people.
It would.
In fact, that's.
And if they cheered.
Maybe not 10. Like.
If they cheered, it might sound like this.
Except just less people.
Like, even that's less subscribers than I have on YouTube. It has to. Maybe, like, from. Yeah, I don't know how many fans we have, but.
Yeah, don't we have, like. Don't we reach 100 views? Or, like, 100 listens? Is that it?
Consistently or like
you know, we've had some episodes that have been downloaded a lot.
Like how much?
Maybe close to 100. I mean, that's not very much, but you know, it is what it is.
He said 400. All right. On YouTube.
Let's move it along. Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
All right, I've got a couple of news stories here. I'm gonna read both of them. So we can move it along quickly, plus I didn't give you these two to read ahead of time. First story, this is from National Geographic. Scientists have determined that you can cut a flatworm's head off and it will regrow a head and have all of its memories intact.
Whoa. Does it like... Science! Does it like have memories in its heart?
Isn't that crazy?
You know, a lot of my grossest strains involve worms.
Worms. It says Michael Levin and Tam... Hold that thought for just a minute. Michael Levin and Tal Shamrat, biologists at Tufts University, have been studying how animals store and process information, whether it's memories in the brain or the blueprint for developing organs in the body. The team turned to flatworms because despite their relative simplicity, they have many of the same organs and body organization as people, a brain, nervous system, bilateral symmetry, and even some of the same behaviors. Flatworms also have the same neurotransmitters as we do and have been shown in older studies to remember complex tasks, Levin said. Yet, unlike people, these worms have a remarkable ability to regenerate organs and body parts, including their brains, making them perfect research subjects. So, here's what they did. They used a computerized device to continually track the worm's behavior and gave them rewards if they... let me explain this a little bit better. They only have primitive eyes to detect light. They generally avoid light, but they trained them by giving them rewards so that they would go towards lighter areas in their lab. And then they trained them to follow a particular path. And then once they had remembered this path, they would reward them. And then once they had trained them to do that, yes, they chopped the worm's heads off, let them regrow, and then use the regrown heads to find food, basically a refresher course for their light training, and found that the worms remembered where the light spots were.
How can worms be that smart?
I don't know. I mean, you can train something really small, but these are little flatworms. So, this article says the obvious question remains, how can a worm remember things after losing its head? We have no idea, Levin admitted. What we do know is that memory can be stored outside the brain, presumably in other body cells, so that memories can be imprinted on the new brain as it regenerates. Researchers have long confined their investigations of memory and learning to the brain, Levin said, but these results may encourage them to look elsewhere. We've established a new model system in which our future work will be able to figure out how memories get encoded and decoded to and from living tissues. That's pretty fascinating. You can cut a flatworm's head off so it doesn't even have a brain. It can regrow a brain, and then somehow it can regenerate the memories it had before its head was cut off.
It is really weird to think about that, though. There's all these worms aren't even the only animals that can... or have a limb cut off and still live.
Lizards can do it.
Chickens
There's some aquatic animal. It's kind of like a salamander. I can't remember what they're called, but they can regrow. What
Exodal?
Are they?
Exodals.
Exodals. They can regrow any part of their body, including their heads.
Yeah.
Exodals.
You can
cool.
cut them and they just regrow, like a complete arm or limb or even a head.
I mean, you cut them into like a million pieces and just be like, whatever, regrow.
Yeah, I mean, there must be like the biggest, maybe it's the biggest part that regrows. But yeah, they can regrow nearly anything, like regenerate organs or pretty crazy.
Yeah. And there's tardigrades where you can't even...
Wouldn't it be pretty
even...
cool to be able to regrow a limb? Lizards can regrow their tails.
I feel like it'd be kind of freaky to regrow an entire limb, but maybe like regrowing a finger.
I don't know if you guys remember this, but when we used to live in another town kind of east of here, we used to get these little lizards called geckos in the house a lot. Sometimes you see them around here, but not as much. In our last house, we used to have a whole bunch of them. And if you grab a gecko by the tail will pop off.
Yeah, also,
and then the tail keeps moving around.
I think it might just be because the nerve system.
No, it's actually a defense mechanism. So they do it on purpose because if they're being chased by a predator and the predator grabs them by the tail, they can pop off the tail and run away.
So, but how does the tail continue to move? Like,
I think it's still got nerves in it, and the fact that it's moving around will like keep the predator distracted.
Also, I was thinking it could be the nervous system.
One thing about octopuses, they do the same thing with their tentacles. Or, like, yeah. They, like, spray ink and then, like, use tentacle to just, like, pretend they're still there.
Yeah.
Like, right outside of the ink and then just go away.
Chickens can
regrow it.
Chickens can lose their heads and still live on.
Well,
which is,
kind of.
I mean, just imagine seeing a headless chicken. Also, they lose a lot of... I'm not sure how they eat, but they lose a lot of senses that way.
By
losing their heads.
Losing their heads. Well, they don't actually keep living. They just sort of, just for a minute, and then they die. They're going to die.
No, there was this one. I read in the, or that one book, that there's this one chicken that lived for at least a few weeks, maybe it was even a few months. But it was like, it was part of this like showman or something. It was in the Book of General Ignorance.
That's really weird. I thought they just died like after a couple minutes.
No, that chicken got to live on. I think it like... ate stuff like with its neck or something, or like peck around.
It must have had part of a head. I don't know. That's weird.
But then it died for like some reason. I forgot how.
That's really strange. I'll have to look that up sometime. All right, one more story here. This is about a pizza restaurant in Idaho, in Boise, Idaho. Pesto's Pizza Shop shames its workers if they burn the pizza. Says, an Idaho pizzeria is drawing attention for the unusual way it disciplines workers who burn pizzas with a public pizza shaming. The pizza shop posted on its Facebook page that employees who overcook pies are made to put on a large orange bag reading "I burned pizza" and walk 5 laps in front of the eatery. There's a picture. You want to see a picture of one of the employees with a bag that says "I burned pizza"?
That's actually kind of funny, but
that's
also,
really...
What do you think of this?
I don't know.
Really cruel. I wonder if...
I mean, the person customers, in the picture seems to enjoy it.
I bet customers quit more frequently than they get hired.
What if, like, people customers? Could throw rotten tomatoes at you while you had to do the 5 laps and say...
Wait, does it say that?
Yeah, I think people should be able to throw rotten tomatoes at you and say this. I think that it should be a true walk of shame. I don't think that's what actually happens, though. The store refers to the punishment as walking the plank. The owner, Lloyd Parrott, told KBOI TV, K-boy.
K-boy.
K-boy. I guess because it's in Boise.
K-boy.
K-boy. K-boy TV. Well, it was one way to remind us all not to burn pizzas. An employee, Sterling Hunt, who appeared in the photos posted to the restaurant's Facebook, said he wasn't paying attention to the time and he burned the pizza. And I waited just a little too long and overcooked it, so I had to put on the suit and walk the plank, he said.
I feel like burning pizzas already comes with its own consequences, though. Like, it leaves you behind.
Leaves you behind?
Or, like, it makes it so you have to, like, catch up. Because you have to be, like, constantly
working. Oh, yeah, because you can't serve that to a customer, right?
Yeah, so...
Yeah. Yeah, so you have to deal with your own
consequences. It makes you, like, behind on time? I don't
know. Hunt said that replacement pizzas are made for customers whose pies come out a bit too crispy. The owner said his pizzeria's cooking method is a bit more complicated than what some other pizza restaurants do. Basically, we do everything by hand here, and it's very difficult. We have a 600-degree oven that fluctuates so they don't get burnt. He said the pizza shaming punishment is meant in good fun. We're all good friends. We have a good time. It's very hard work, and we all love it, so we can't be hard on each other. You know, we got to have some fun around here. It's all in good fun. That's the owner, though. Do you think the employees think that?
I don't know.
He said fun like 10 different times.
I know. It sounds like he's trying to like overcompensate.
Yeah. Fun.
No, really, it's fun. It's so much fun. Fun. It's fun.
Has he ever done it?
I don't know, he doesn't say he has.
He's the owner.
Fun.
What do you think of shaming punishments in general?
It's kind of blackmail.
Have you ever seen dog shaming pictures?
No, I haven't.
So like if you look at like dog shaming on the internet, there'll be like people will have pictures of like a dog with a sign around its neck that says, "I ate my owner's shoes," or "I peed on my owner's carpet," and they'll take a picture of their dog and put it on the internet to shame their dogs. What about like kid shaming? Like if you do something wrong, we should make you like stand out on the street with a sign around your neck.
Yeah, or like that, in cartoon.
Or just sit in the corner with a dunce hat.
Yeah, do people actually used to do that?
I think the dunce hat was a real thing back in like, I don't know, early 20th century.
Yeah, that and the ruler.
Yeah, well, definitely that was real. Yeah, and then there have been, every once in a while you hear stories about like different cities where like judges will sentence someone with a shaming thing. Like they'll make them wear a sign saying what they did and walk around town with it.
Okay, really? But that's totally blackmail though.
That, they do that?
Or like this... in the early America, so in the colonies, like back when there was a Plymouth colony in Massachusetts, like before it was Massachusetts.
Oh yeah.
Shaming was a pretty common form of punishment. That's what the stockade, you know what the stockade is? Where you put your hands and your neck through the wooden block and then they lock you in there.
And get pecked by birds.
Well, or people would come and then throw rotten food at you and call you names. But then, like, you wouldn't have to go to jail after that. You'd just be in the stockade for a day, and then they'd release you.
Ugh, did you
but
get fed?
The idea was, well, I don't know. But the idea was you would just be so ashamed of your behavior, you wouldn't do it again. So they wouldn't just throw everybody in jail. They would do something that makes them shamed.
Yeah, and then there's, like, the extreme form, or the extreme... I guess like shame kind of, which is tarring and feathering.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool though, because that's also kind of like torture.
Shaming? Yeah, that's just torture.
It's part shame, but it's also kind of like horrible and torturous.
Which, by the way, that like freaks me out.
Yeah, it freaks me out too. I don't like to think about it. It's gross. Plus, just because it'd be really painful.
Yeah, like crazy painful.
Yeah. I want to do something... that has to do with what I was doing last week. Let's do... Can't find the draw.
Either or?
Let's do Family Archive.
Family Archives?
What secrets does this ancient repository of power and knowledge hold?
So I mentioned on the podcast that I was going to be getting on a plane and flying out to Utah where my parents are, and interviewing them and getting their life stories. And I did that. So I got on a plane, I packed up some podcast equipment, and I went to my parents' house, and I put microphones in front of them, and I interviewed them, and I got some stories about their whole lives, kind of from their grandparents, their parents, and the earliest memories until like now, kind of talking about some things. One of the things that I thought was kind of interesting was when they had talked about like their childhood, and the houses that they lived in. Both of my parents kind of grew up, in families that at least early on didn't have a lot of money. So they were always kind of, always looking for ways to save money. They were always, you know, money was always really tight. And they grew up in houses where neither one of them had their own home, their own bedrooms. So this first one is my dad talking about the house that he grew up in when he was a kid.
Did you have to explain to them what a podcast was?
Let me see. I think I've got it muted. I have to start this over.
Little brother, so the reason we moved is we had a little brother, so I guess I may have been even 14 years old. I'm about 13 years older than Byron, but when we had one bedroom, my mom and dad have a bedroom, and we had a bedroom, and so I slept in the bed with my two sisters. Well, somewhere about the age of 6 or 7, I remember dad starting to work
like
on the
double bed with three kids in it.
Yeah, I was probably a double size, maybe a. What's less than
queen
a
queen?
It's not a queen. It was
maybe
just
a single.
I think they called them there's another word for it besides double full bed. So less than a queen, though. But we didn't have any, we weren't crowded as I remember, but I remember dad starting to work on the house and didn't know really what he was doing, but he was building an extra bedroom. So they built an extension and built a bedroom and a storage room for fruit, a lot of fruit shelves and stuff. And I was really disappointed when I found out that was to be my bedroom. I had to sleep alone. I did not like sleeping alone. At age 6, I missed sleeping with my sisters, but obviously I needed to do that sometime. So then they encouraged me to bring my friends over. So I'd bring different friends, Bobby Hess, Steve Bishop, Larry Kidman, I'd have them come sleep with me, and that helped a little bit. But Bobby Hess wasn't fun because he was really moved all over the place. And I remember for about an hour one night pushing myself with a hand so I wouldn't fall off the bed between the crack between the wall and the bed.
So
he has a surprisingly good podcast voice.
Yeah.
So my dad, when he was a kid until he was the age of six, he shared a bed with his two sisters. Isn't that crazy? So
yeah.
Not just a bedroom, but a bed. He slept in the same bed, just a little bed with three kids in it. And then finally they built him another bedroom. My grandpa, your great-grandpa, my grandpa, actually built the extra room onto the house so that he could have a bedroom, and he was really sad. So he used to, invite friends over so they could sleep with him because he was too lonely.
Yeah, me and Henry sleep in the same room for a little bit. We had bunk beds.
But you never sleep in the same bed, except maybe once or twice you've done it at maybe a hotel or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have, a pillow between it so we wouldn't fight.
Yeah, but not in the same bed. You guys could probably sleep in your own bedrooms if you want to, but you kind of enjoy sharing a room, right?
Yeah.
Most of the time?
85% of the time.
So,
except for the fact that if I'm assigned to clean the room, I have to clean up all of Will's stuff.
I shared a bedroom with my older brother, your Uncle Brian, and until he went on a mission. So we slept in the same room. We had bunk beds. And he used to always have the top bunk, and I always had the bottom bunk. And then at one point, we had side-by-side beds, but, separate beds. And then he went on a mission, then I had the room all to myself until he got back.
Well, once William goes on a mission, then it'll be exactly like that.
Or when I go to college.
The younger one.
Go to college or something,
bottom.
Whenever you leave the house. Mm-hmm. Here is my mom talking about her house. So my mom's situation was a little different because she grew up in a funeral home. I don't know if you've talked about this before. My grandpa was a funeral director. You know what that is?
Is it where you basically
remember telling me about this? It's where maybe you told me about this way earlier. I don't know.
If you die or a loved one dies, they would call up my grandpa and he would take care of the funeral and he would take care of the dead body and the casket and until the body was buried. So that was his career. So she grew up in a house that was part dedicated to funerals, and it was also where they lived. So here's her talking about kind of growing up in the funeral home. Explain a little bit about the home. Upstairs was where the family lived,
mm-hmm.
and then the downstairs was an area where they had for funerals, like a mm-hmm. funeral hall.
And the basement was where all the caskets were. And I remember
bodies in the basement.
Fruit room in a closet behind these caskets. And I'd have to go down those stairs to the caskets and move the caskets so I could get fruit from that room.
You said there was one bedroom. So was the bedroom upstairs?
Yes.
Is that where your parents were? And where did the children sleep?
In the one bedroom.
The children slept in the bedroom or your parents slept in the bedroom?
No, we slept in the bedroom. Mother and Dad had a rollaway bed in the living room.
Okay, so they slept in the living room, which was also, was that where the funeral parlor was, basically?
No, upstairs.
Okay. So it was one bedroom and then kind of a living room with a mm-hmm. rollaway bed. So the children would sleep in the bedroom, mm-hmm. parents would sleep in the living room upstairs.
Yep.
And then they would roll away the bed.
And then we had a bathroom and the kitchen.
All upstairs.
Mm-hmm. And we always had a dog.
So your grandma, my mom, until she was 14, she shared a bedroom with her older brothers. She had two older brothers, and she shared that bedroom with her older brothers until they moved away when she was 14. So she didn't say they shared the same bed, just the same bedroom. But there's only one bedroom in the whole house. Her parents slept in a rollaway bed in the next room in the living room upstairs. That's pretty crazy to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
So every morning her mom would roll away the bed and take care of it and clean it up. And the kids, I didn't include this part, but one thing that was kind of interesting was the kids, when they were upstairs, if they heard the bell ring, that would mean that a customer came in, a funeral customer came in, and they had to be super quiet. They could play board games and stuff, but they couldn't be loud. So they had to be really quiet because there was business going on downstairs, and sometimes serious business, like funeral business. So that's the house that Grandma grew up in. Kind of interesting, huh?
Yeah.
It's interesting to think about, like, you know, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, my parents are in their 70s, but, like, I don't think that was that unusual back then. Nowadays, people have bigger houses, and kids either have their own room or at least their own bed, and houses tend to have a lot of bedrooms. But back then, it wasn't that common. It wasn't that uncommon for you to share a bedroom with, like, lots of other people. Pretty crazy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is a little bit of a short podcast, but there's only one last thing to do on the podcast.
And that is treat yourself.
And that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
For treat yourself, I have some white chocolate candy bars and candy.
You still haven't done the mint M&Ms thing, by the way.
Oh, haven't we? Well, no, today we've got milk chocolate M&Ms.
We did do mint M&Ms, remember?
Or not milk chocolate, white chocolate M&Ms.
My least favorite white chocolate.
White chocolate Twix and a white chocolate Reese's peanut butter cup.
Have you tried any of these before?
Okay, I think at least some of these could be good. I'm not sure about the white chocolate Reese's peanut butter cups, although...
Have you guys tried any of these before?
No. But the white chocolate Reese's and... Actually, no, never mind. These do sound like good combinations.
I bet there's going to be at least one where the original kind is better than it.
Twix is one of my favorite candy bars. I really like Twix.
I like all of them.
I like milk chocolate better than I like white chocolate. I even like dark chocolate more than I like white chocolate.
Yeah, that is so my favorite type of chocolate. Just
my expectations are not that high, but I saw all these in the store the other day, and I thought, well, that would make a good treat yourself. So we're going to try white chocolate Twix, white chocolate Reese's peanut butter cups, and white chocolate M&Ms.
I actually really like white chocolate, but I feel like there's going to be some of these that are like good, but not as good as the original kind.
Which one do you want to try first?
M&Ms.
All right. Okay, I will pass around some white chocolate M&Ms, then I'm going to mute the mics. And you can try them. I'm going to give you a couple here. Tell me what you think of them.
Oh, by the way, small tangent. I kind of think that Ruby chocolate would be like the best.
Maybe.
Really good Portugal to the chocolate festival.
Oh, I did confirm dates of the chocolate festival. It is going to be when we're in Portugal.
Yeah.
So, hooray. Yes. All right, muting the mics now.
That's really good. I really like white chocolate, so it's really good.
I rate delicious, even though it's my least favorite type of chocolate. And it reminds me a ton of the white chocolate, what are they called?
Kisses?
So William and Henry both think it's...
yum, 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 delicioso!
I think it's like
hugs? Are they kind of like hugs?
It's like if you took...
They're like the Whoppers, white chocolate Whoppers.
White chocolate Whoppers.
It's like those.
It's like if you... Well, those are vanilla, though.
I think it's...
But to me, it's like if you took...
I think it's just okay. Probably just because I just don't think white chocolate's that good.
To me, it's like if you took the. To me, it's like if you took the white chocolate Hershey's Kisses and you like mush them up and put them in an M&M shell. The one thing I don't like about them is I feel like M&Ms are like small, and because of that, they have kind of like a crunch to them, kind of. And I really like that, but these are like slightly bigger, so it kind of loses.
They're making M&Ms huge, and I don't really like that.
Well, like varieties of it.
All right, let's try white chocolate Twix next.
Okay. Usually only there's other stuff in there too, like peanut
butter. Okay, these look good.
I'm gonna give that like almost delicious, but okay, because it's pretty good. There's something... Wait, you're gonna say okay?
You can say okay.
Oh, okay. But there's something slightly off about them. Like, you know how when you combine, like, sweet and salty, like, sometimes it can be good and sometimes it can just be, like, a little off?
Maybe okay. That's what I like about it. I think it's...
Yum, 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 delicioso!
I liked it. I thought it was really good. I thought it was interesting because it tastes different from a chocolate Twix, like a milk chocolate Twix.
Yeah, also...
But in a good way.
Yeah, I also think of it like that, except it feels like you just removed the chocolate at all.
I don't know. There's only, like, a slight problem with it, but...
I liked it. I thought it was good. You could really taste... the cookie and the caramel. Yeah.
I don't know. I might change it to delicious. I don't know.
No, that's okay. What do you think, Henry?
Delicious. Sorry,
also
said
delicious.
That.
Okay.
All
right. We got one more to do. It is the.
It is
white
my highest hope.
Reese's.
But I hope this will be very good.
Mom has tried these before, she said. I have never tried them.
I think that they're going to be good. It's really good.
We'll see.
I think this could be pretty good. I mean, I don't think it could be bad.
I have high expectations. I think it's delicious. It tastes like Reese's Pieces.
I think you can't really taste, like with normal Reese's peanut butter cups, you don't really taste the chocolate that much. So it doesn't taste that much different.
Peanut butter tastes so strong.
Like it has kind of a, like, it has kind of a different aftertaste, but.
I agree with that. I think it tastes very similar to a Reese's peanut butter cup. Because the peanut butter is such a strong flavor.
We need some sort of like...
But having said that, I think it's delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Yeah,
I think it's delicious too, but we need some sort of like disappointing drop or something like that. Because like, I kind of expected something different.
But it was delicious but disappointing.
But like... Like it's still as delicious as Reese's peanut butter cups, but I kind of wanted it to be like different.
Oh yeah? You wanted it to have a different flavor?
I think
and it still tasted kind of the same.
Twix might have been the best.
I think I like the Twix the best of the three, although the Reese's was really good.
I would have
the like white chocolate M&Ms.
Those also taste like Reese's Pieces.
This is a pretty good themed one, and all of them are pretty good. I think it'll be fun to have like a strawberry chocolate themed one.
Except the next one, you should have mint one, because we still haven't tried mint M&Ms.
No, we
still haven't tried mint M&Ms.
So. I haven't.
Oh, you haven't. Okay.
Okay.
That's kind of different.
That's...
Did we not try it on the podcast? I don't think we've done it on
the
podcast.
I think we did. I think we tried it alongside the like Bright Skittle or something like that.
No, I can't even remember what I've done.
I think I remember trying them.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't remember. Maybe I wasn't there.
I think I do.
We did like cherry once, I think. I don't know.
No, we did mint. We did mint. I remember it was alongside the All right.
The hot and spicy Skittles, maybe.
No, it was alongside the like Bright Skittles or whatever they're called.
Bright Side or something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is our podcast for today. Thank you. If you are listening, thank you for listening. And if you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter.
That does not mean get a bird and send us a message.
You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Talk to Dad Podcast. I'll try to do a little better on the social media. I've been kind of busy lately, so I haven't tweeted out much or posted much on Instagram. I need to do better on that. But definitely reach out to us. We'd like to know if you are listening and what you like, what you don't like. If you really want to help us out, something you can do is you can subscribe, rate, and review us. If you feel it in your hearts to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, that actually helps us out quite a bit. Just in terms of finding more people to listen to the podcast. Thank you for listening. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. Last time for-